Baruchim Abayim Rabotai. Welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. Tonight's class has been dedicated by the Meddev family in honor and the Fu'ashir Ema of their mother, Le'ah Bat Virgin. Inna Refanala, Inna Refanala, Inna Refanala, Refuat HaNefesh, Refuat HaGuf. Refuat HaKirubal Abo V'chen Yirason, V'nomar Amen. I apologize for my delinquency last week. I did have a surgery that I needed to attend to. I couldn't send a shaliach on my eye as we did a cataract. I thought that I'd be able to take the cataract and then come to the class. I wasn't aware that it entailed a nice dosage of anesthesia. So I don't remember too much after what happened after the cataract, but I know that when I woke up, it was past the time. So I'm sorry if we inconvenienced anybody. Maybe it'd be a good idea to have some sort of emergency backup system with emails and texts amongst the group. I mean, I don't know how to do it exactly, but amongst the group, if they could spread the word, I could always let somebody know the last minute. But last week was really an exception. So again, mechila. We're in Parashat Toledot. We're in one of the most difficult parashiyot in the entire Torah. We came here tonight, B'si'ata D'Shmaya, to try to unravel some of the tightest knots that present themselves in the parasha. But before we say Hiddushim, we have to read the story, just to remember the story. We read it from year to year. So anyway, Yaakov and Esav are born. The Pasuk says, Vayigdilu ha-ni'arim, they mature. Vahi Esav ish yodei asayid, ish sadeh. Esav is a yodei asayid, he's a man who knows trapping, he's a hunter. Ish sadeh, he's a man of the field. V'Yaakov ish tam, Yoshev Ohalim, and Yaakov is a wholesome man, sitting in the tents. I mean, I'm just looking now. When it comes to Esav, the Torah calls him Ish Yodei Asayid Ish Sadeh. For some reason, Esav gets a double Ish. He's an Ish Yodei Asayid, he's an Ish Sadeh, which to me is the same thing. To me, it's redundant. It's obvious that the hunter does the hunting in the field. Ishudei Asayid Basadeh. Fine. V'Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim. And Yaakov, on the other hand, is Ishtam, whatever that means. V'yehav Yitzchak et Esav ki Sayid Befiv. And Yitzchak loves Esav ki Sayid Befiv. Because he provides for him gain. If that's the simple interpretation. Because he gives him food. It's hard for me to accept that that's the explanation, that Yitzhak Abinu, the great Tzaddik, loves Esav because of his providing meat. The Midrash, Rashi brings that, has a little different interpretation. Ki tzayid b'fiv. He says he tricked him. Ki tzayid b'fiv shel Esav. Esav has a very cunning way of talking, where he's able to fool his father and trick his father into thinking that he's a tzaddik. V'rivka ohevet et Yaakov. I mean, to me, the biggest question in this whole story is the fact that Yitzhak is duped by Esav. I mean, everybody could smell Esav from 100 miles away. And Yitzhak Avinu loves him, and as we're going to see in a minute, wants to give him the primary blessings. And to any second grade in the yeshiva, it's known, Esav is a rasha. But Yitzhak Avinu, for whatever reason, he is under the misimpression that Esav is the tzaddik, by Yehav. That means he got deceived by Esav. He sayed befiv, he tricked him. He asked his father all these sorts of questions. How do you take ma'aser on the salt? How do you take ma'aser on the straw? He asked him these type of religiously sounding questions. Fine, Yaakov one day is making lentil soup. Esav comes from the field. Vayomer Esav el Yaakov, so he says, "Aleiteni na min adom adom azeh." Give me some of this red stuff. Vayomer Yaakov, so Yaakov says back, "Hold it, not so fast." Mechra chayom. I understand he wants to make a transaction, sell it. Maze mechra chayom, sell it like today. The kayom, I don't know what it's doing there. Anyway, Esav says, what do I need it for? Hinei anochi olech lamut. I'm going to die anyway. Lama zeli bechora. What do I need this birthright for? So he sells it. They make a shivua and it's over. Okay, that's the beginning. That's chapter one. And then there's some stories in between over here that we're not going to talk about tonight. One day we'll have to go back to them. And then all of a sudden, it's the time of the blessings. Yitzhak Abinu calls in Esav. I mean, I didn't come here to ask you 52 questions. But I came to read you the story and just make observations of the obvious problems in the story. Vayomer Elav Hineni, Esav says, I'm here. Vayomer Hinena Zakanti, and so on and so forth. Sana Kelecha, go take your instruments, your gear, Tedyecha, your sword, Kashtecha, your bow and arrow. Vesea Sadeh, go out to the field. Vesu Dali Sayed. Wow. Vesea Sadeh, go out to the field and provide for me a game. Bring me back some food. It's good Yitzhak told him where the hunting is done. He has to tell him, go out to the field. Because otherwise I thought it's done in the basement. I thought it's done on in the tennis court. Where else are you going to go trap? He's a trapper. He's a hunter. You have to tell him, Alevet Gimal Dalet. In Israel, on the back of the cereal box, it says, pour in the cereal bowl, add milk. The person doesn't know how to eat cereal. So now you have to tell Esav over here, oh, Vesea Sadeh, oh, Vesea Sadeh, Tzchil Mitzvot. Vesu Dali Sayed. Now you don't see it because you don't have Sefarim in front of you, but from my book, it's popping off the page over here what I see. Vesu Dali Sayed. How do you spell the word Sayyid? Sadi Yud Dalid. And trap for me some game. But in my Chumash over here, Sayyid is spelled unprecedented. Sadi Yud Dalid He. Saidar. I don't know what the word is. Sayyid. If a person's reading the Sefer Torah, he comes to this word, he can get confused. There's no He at the end of Sayyid. But over here he tells him, Besud Ali Sayyid. And he puts a He at the end of it. Okay, continue. You're reading these parashiyot for 100 years. Nobody asked these questions. You're reading it. Next. Chavod. And now we're reading it slow, and you start to see where the story is perplexing. It's the most complex story you ever read in your life. Anyway, I'm going fast. Rivka says, oh, Yaakov, Yaakov, you better go get the blessings. Your father's giving blessings. Go take two goats. So Rashi says, wow, two goats. How much does Yaakov, how much does Yitzhak Avinu eat? Is that the machal of a tzaddik, two goats? How much does a person eat? You go to a restaurant, you get a hamburger, you get two hamburgers. Somebody goes to the restaurant, so what are you going to have? I'm going to have two goats. Two goats? You bring the first one, and then when I'm ready for the second one, I'll tell you to bring the second one. Who eats like this? This is not my question, this is the Midrash's question. V'chim, ha'kadosh el tzaddik. Shtek yedayin. So the Gemara says, as you know already, Pesach haya, Erev Pesach haya. Ah, so he needs one for Korban Pesach, and one for Korban Hagiga. Okay, fine, so at least we're answering the volume of the menu over here. Alright, he puts on the clothes of his brother. He walks in. Vayomer, he tells him, Mi ata bini, is who are you? Yitzhak wants to make sure it's the right son. So he tells him, Vayomer Yaakov el Aviv, Anuchi Esav Bechorecha. I am Esav, your firstborn. I don't want to be a stickler over here. Where some of you are going to say, the rabbi's picking on every word over here. He's in a mood tonight. He's coming to, you know, to squeeze every word on us over here. I didn't come to do that. But if the Torah tells us that we have to analyze every word, and every word is measured, and we must be very economical when we look at the words of the Torah. So he asks him, who are you? I have no problem. He should say, Anuchi Esav. Period. By saying Anuchi Esav, that answers the question. I mean, Yitzhak could figure out there's only one Esav in the world. So that must mean you're Esav, my firstborn. That's an easy deduction. But instead, Yaakov Avinu makes it easy for his father. Anuchi Esav Bechorecha. Ah, you're not just Esav, you're Esav Bechorecha. Ah, now I know who you are. What does he have to add the Bechorecha for? Huh? Just say Beni, but he wants to know which Ben. He has two sons. I know the questions. Yaakov and Esav, I understand your question, but I'm answering you. If he just says Beni, which son? Ata Beni, Ken Beni, is it Ben? Yaakov or Esav? You should say, Anuchi Esav. Bechorecha, I didn't ask you for your birthday. I didn't ask you if you're the firstborn or not. If you're Esav, you're the firstborn. Anyway, you don't like the question, you have to like the question. Let me feel you. He says, come close, let me feel you. He feels him. He says, well, you sound like Yaakov, you smell like Esav, you feel like Esav. Anyway, blesses him. Vaybarechehu. Good. Now it happens. Vayarach et reyach begadav. He smells him as he gets closer to bless him. Vayomer e'er reyach beni k'reyach sadeh. He says, you know something? You smell like the field. You have the smell of the field. K'reyach sadeh asher b'racho Hashem. Well, that's obvious. If he went to the field to do trapping, I'm not too sure what the field smells like. But obviously it has a unique aroma. So when he walked in and he smells his clothes, it smells like you're in the field. And as a result, he blesses him. V'yiten necha Elohim etad ha-shamayim o'meshmanei ha'aris. After he gives him the beracha, who walks in? Esav. V'yaz gamu matamim. He also made the delicacies. He tells his father, Dad, get up, eat. Vayomer lo Yitzhak, mi ata? He tells him, who are you? Vayomer ani bencha bechorecha Esav. He says, what do you mean? I'm the Bechor. I'm your Bechor Esav. Vayicherad Yitzhak harada gedolad meot. All of a sudden Yitzhak becomes very scared. So he says, who is that guy? Who is that guy that came and took the blessings? Which means he got confused over here. He got scared. More than confused, he got scared. Vayicherad. What do you mean you're the Esav? Who was the other guy? Who was the other guy? The other guy was Yaakov. Sorry, the other guy was Yaakov. What does he say? Gam baruchiyeh. Ah, this pasuk is very difficult. Gam baruchiyeh means, oh no, he should be blessed. What does that mean? You just came along and said, hey, what's going on over? If you're Esav, who's the other guy? The other guy was Yaakov. So he should say, ah, cancel. Do over. Mulligan. It doesn't count. Instead, what does he say? I'm confused. I'm scared. This is Ramban's question, by the way. What kind of response is that? V'yeharad, he's all scared that he blessed the wrong one. So instead of telling Esav, don't worry, we'll fix this over here. We'll do an exchange, we'll do a pidyon, we'll do temura, whatever you call it. Instead, what does he say? Ah, I blessed the wrong one, gam baruchiyeh. We might not even have time to give any answers tonight because we have so many questions. So maybe this year I'll just ask you all the questions. And we'll come back next year and we'll give you the answers to the questions because there's too many more questions I have to ask. You could go to sleep for 5 more minutes. I'm not going to start the answers till about 5 more minutes. And before I give you the answers, I'm going to test you on all the questions. And whoever can't say all the 12 questions... Anyway, what happens over here? He says, okay, listen, Dad, bless me something. You only have one benachah in your pocket? Give me something. He says, listen, I can't give you a blessing. Your brother came with trickery. Now, by Yaakov, by Yitzhak saying that to Esav, Esav is already angry. Esav already feels that he got gypped. That Yaakov already came in and took these blessings, and his father tells him, I have no more blessings to give you. So he says, your brother came in trickery, and so that's like taking kerosene and pouring it on the situation and lighting a match. Which means, normally a father tries to calm them down. He tries to pacify. Hey, Esav, don't worry, we'll figure it out. We'll get to the bottom of it. Don't worry about it. Yaakov, we'll figure it out. Make peace. No, instead, he instigates. Your brother came b'mirma. He tricked you. As if Esav is not agitated enough. So he comes and pours kerosene on him and puts him on fire. He says, yeah, Yaakov, you're the wise guy, yeah? Yaakov's the Ishtam. And the Ishtam outsmarted you. Ma'icha b'mirma. Yeah, that's... So not a conventional answer of a father that normally tries to make the peace. He says, Achi kara shemo Yaakov. That's why they call him Yaakov. That's what Esav says. The zeh seems extra. Finally, blesses him. Okay, he gives him a consolation prize, runner up. He gives him some sort of blessing. Okay, now we can begin the subject. Beruchim ba'im rabotai. Now that you know the story, we have to go back. Put some perush. There's a very interesting Hatam Sofer. The Hatam Sofer is talking over here. How did Esav trick his father? How is it possible? So he says, Esav was coming to his father and telling him future events. He was making predictions. Things that didn't happen yet, Esav was handicapping before it materialized. Yitzhak was impressed. Yitzhak came to the conclusion that the only way he's able to have these kohot and these powers of Ruach HaKodesh, which sounds like a Ruach HaKodesh, must be Esav is playing with the Shemot HaKedoshim. Must be he's a Mekubal. How else can he know future events? How else is he making these predictions? How else can he to know everything before it happens? So he's a Kabbalist. I've been to Kabbalists that are able to tell you, using different cards that they have, who you are, what you are, what's going to be, and so on and so forth. Not that we have a desire to go to them, but Yitzhak thought that Esav is one of these mekubalim that has Shemot Kedoshim in his pocket. And this Hatam Sofer says. And he's using the Shemot. In truth, how did he know the future? He was involved in magicery and sorcery and all this type of witchcraft. He learned it from the best teacher. He learned it from Lavan, his uncle. Remember, Lavan had the teraphim. He sticks something in the mouth and it starts talking and it gives him all sorts of hiddushim. So Esav took bones of dead animals, put it under his arm, whatever the Torah says, Ov, Yedeoni, all these type of Ouija boards and all these other type of stuff. He had all the accessories of a witch. So his powers were coming from Sitra Hara. But Yitzhak, my son is a Mekubal, look at this. He knows all the Shemot, he knows all the Kabbalah, he comes with Hiddushim. Now, anybody that knows our Torah's opinion on looking into the future and looking into the stars and all that, what does the Torah say about that? The Torah says, Tamim tiyeh Mashem medohecha. Tamim tiyeh, you shouldn't, there's no need to know the future and to look what's going to be. Tamim tiyeh. That's Yaakov Ishtam. Ishtam is Tamimti, he's the reverse of Esav. Where Esav is the Mekubal, you know, always talking about what's going to be, what's the weather going to be tomorrow, who's going to die, he's reading foreheads and all that stuff. Yaakov, Ishtam Yosef Alim, he's learning Pshat, he's learning the Talmud, he's reading the Mishnah. So that's what it means when it says in the Pasuk that Esav is Ish Yodeya Sayyid. He knows how to trap his father. The trappings were done into Yitzhak thinking that he had Shemot HaKedushim. But says the Hatam Sofer, there's a Yerushalmi. What does Yerushalmi say? There was a doctor, and the doctor came to Rabbi Pinchas Bar Hamma. And he told them, Bo ve'ani imsor lecha Shema Meforash. The doctor, it seems, had the Shema Meforash. He didn't learn it in college, that's for sure. He got it from somewhere. They taught him Shema Meforash. So he went to the rabbis. I'll give you Shema Meforash. Interested? So Rabbi Pinchas says, good idea, but I can't. Who would refuse the Shema Meforash? He said, not allowed, because I'm a Levi, and I take Ma'aser. And the rule is that anybody that takes from people cannot have the Shema Meforash. Listen to the klal, Yerushalmi, in Yomah. If you take gifts from people, and you receive from people, you cannot have the Shema Meforash. Why? Because the Gemara is concerned that maybe one day they're not going to give you the gift, and then you're going to take the shem and you're going to zap the person.
Every week you get ma'aser from the people. 1 week the guy decides not to give the people has ma'aser. He says, where's the ma'aser this week? I gave it to the other guy. Well, you gave it to the other guy, just stay here for a second. He takes out the thing. And the guy dies on the spot. So if you take, the Shem Mefurash can turn to a weapon. Rushami says you can't have it. Only those v'yibtehu becha that put their full betahon in God, they don't take, yud'ei shemecha. They could know the name of God. So watch the pshat, says Hatam Sofer. It says, part of the masquerade that Esav is making himself like he's a mekubal, that he has shemot, that means he has to portray himself as independent, that he doesn't take from anybody. So what does he do? He doesn't take anything from Yitzhak, doesn't eat from the food of Rivka. What does he eat from? Ish yodeyach Sayyid. Vayehav Yitzhak et Esav ki Sayyid befiv. He only eats from his own. Ki Sayyid befiv. Befiv shel Esav. He only eats what he hunted. He says, what a tzaddik. He won't even eat from the table. Esav comes home, what did mommy make for dinner? Yaakov says, what did mommy make for dinner? Oh, mommy made a whole 7-course meal. What does Esav say? I brought my own lunch. Yitzhak says, hey, it's a tzaddik. Kisayid nefid. He has his own lunch always. Must be because he's using Shemot. And if you use the Shemot, you're not allowed to take from anybody. Because he comes home one day, doesn't like what his mother made. He'll turn the shame on her. So that's what the pshat is in the pasuk, he says. Vayehav Yitzhak et Esav ki sayid b'fiv. He saw that he was independent. And Yaakov Ishtam, Yoshevo Alim, yeshiva guy, comes home, what's for dinner? Okay, nothing special. Here, Esav is holding by Madrigot. Okay. There was a rabbi called Rabbi Shimon Sofer, who was the Hatam Sofer's son. When he became the rabbi in his town, he got up to make a derash. He saw already there were wise guys in the group. They came ready, whatever the rabbi is going to say, they're going to uproot it. They came to make trouble. So he says, this is his first speech. He says, Rabotai, before I make the speech, I want to tell you a story. He says, when we were young, there was a guy in the town who opened a store on Shabbat. So our father, the Hatam Sofer, told me and my brother, go there and give him Musar, tell him he better straighten up. So we went, and the guy didn't listen. He says, get lost. What do you mean? I don't have to answer to anybody. We went back to our father and we said, well, the guy's brazen, he doesn't listen. He says, so my father gave me one of the Shemot HaKiddushim, and he said, next time you go to him, if he doesn't acquiesce, use the shame on him. He says, so I went, and the guy was a wise guy, so I used the shame, and the guy died on the spot. He says, that was a long time ago, he says, when I was a kid. He says, I want you all to know in this crowd over here today, that I still remember the shame that my father gave me. Now I'd like to start the speech. They said, you were able to hear the buzzing of the flies in the room. It was so quiet. Nobody wants to ask the rabbi a question. Boom, he'll zap him. So you see, the Shemot Kiddushim, they asked the Hatam Sofer once, he himself. They said, why don't you use the Shemot to help the Jews in the exile? He said, what do you think? He said, I could use the Shemot and make a golem as quick as it takes me to swallow a glass of water. That's how fast I can make a golem. That's how much the Hatam Sofer himself mastered the Shemot. He says, but Yerushalmi says if you take something, if you take, you shouldn't use the Shemot. I guess he took a salary, whatever it was. He was concerned. So it's not a shock that people had these powers of Shemot, and they used them, and they were effective. So Yitzhak Avinu certainly knew the Shemot, the Kedushim, certainly had all the Shemot in his pocket. And he felt Esav was one of these tzaddikim, one of these hidden tzaddikim. Oh, so now what happens? By the way, once you get this rule, you understand something else. You remember when Avram Avinu is fighting with the king of Sodom, and Avram Avinu wins the whole war. Miracles, he throws dirt and everything turns into spears and arrows. Anyway, when the war is over, what does the king of Sodom say? Ten li ha-nefesh, just give me the captives, v'rechush kahlach, you keep the money. Now, we all know that the king of Sodom was not really such a big tzaddik. Why is he so generous telling Avraham, you keep the money? He should negotiate, you know what, I want everything. I want the nefesh, I want the rechush. Why is he so generous? V'rechush kahlach. You know what the explanation is? Because he said there's no way that he was able to pull off these miracles unless he's using Shemot the Kedoshim. I have to take this power away from Avraham. I have to turn him into a taker. Once he takes the Rechush, finished, he's a taker. He can't use the Shemot against me anymore. Avraham Avinu says, what do you think, I was born yesterday? So I know that trick. Hey, I'm not going to even take a shoelace from you. How do you like that? Immichut v'atzroch na'al. Didn't work. You can't fool the tzaddikim. But the tzaddikim could fool each other. What do you mean the tzaddikim could fool each other? You remember when the brothers came down to see Yosef? Yosef knows the Shevatim, knows the Shemot. That's easy for them. They know all the Kabbalah. So how is Yosef going to protect himself if the brothers are going to start using Shemot? So what does he tell the servants? Go take their money and put it back in their satchels. Go take my cup and put it in their satchels. So now it turns out they ended up taking wheat and they didn't pay for it. They got it for free. Once they see that they took something, they'll know the rule. They can't use the Shemot against me. And all the tzaddikim are using these type of mechanisms so they get defended from the Shemot. Alright, we continue. So now what happened? So the story continues. Look how smart Yaakov Avinu is. Esav comes one day from the field. Ruayef tells his brother, give me some of this red lentil soup. Yaakov knows who Esav is, by the way. Yaakov knows who Esav is and how. He knows he's not a mekubal, he's not a nothing. He's Rasha Merusha. But he plays along. What does Yaakov tell Esav? What do you mean, give you? If I give you the lentil soup for nothing, you become a taker. And then you're not going to be able to use the Shemot. I don't want to ruin your Kabbalistic kohot. Esav could tell him, come on, you know it's a joke, you know it's a hoax. Just give me the stuff and keep quiet. But Esav's a ge'er, so he doesn't want to... My brother also thinks I'm a mekubal. My father thinks I'm a mekubal, my brother thinks I'm a mekubal. So he's chas v'shalom just to give me the soup for nothing? He says, hal'aiteni na. So Yaakov says, what's hal'aiteni na? He says, no. V'yom Yaakov mechrach hayom. Sell it. We'll make a sale. You don't have any benefit for nothing. Esav stuck. He cornered him. He really wanted it for free. But the way Yaakov tells it to him, you're mekubal, you're a tzaddik, you're a asidah kadisha. You never took anything for free in your whole life. You're the ish, you're the asayid. You're the hunter. You never ate any dinners in the house. I'm the only one that's eating the dinners. You bring your own lunchbox. Now all of a sudden you want free food. He said, you're right. Mahila, mahila. Makes him like a Sadiq. Now listen to what he tells him. Yaakov is so smart. He says, all I want from you is the birthright. Now the birthright has two benefits. One is a immediate benefit and one is a futuristic benefit. I need to explain this to you. The immediate benefit is the one that holds the birthright has the rights to serve as the priest, as the Kohen. Meaning, you're in charge of the Korbanot, you're in charge of the Mizbeach. It's like buying the priesthood. That's the immediate benefit of having the Bechorah. The delayed benefit is that when Yitzhak dies, the one that has the Bechorah gets double of the Yerusha. Money. Yaakov Abinu smart. Yaakov says, there's no way Esav's giving up money. He's not giving up double share, he's not giving up any of that stuff. He knows he's a hoax. Yeah, he says, I don't take. He takes, and how? So Yaakov Abinu says, listen, only sell me the part of the Bechora that applies today. I'm only interested in the part of the Bechora that has immediate use. Yerusha, I don't need money. Like you don't need money, but you do need money. But we'll worry about that at the end. I don't want to take the Bechora from you from that. Mechach hayom. What does Esav answer? Esav answers, Hina anuchi olech lamut. He says, you think I want to bring korbanot? He says, I once heard Daddy give a shi'ud in Masechet Zevachim, Masechet Menachot. Everything the Kohen does, Hayab mitah, if he makes a mistake, if he has a bad machshava, if he eats it when he's tameh, this service will kill me. Hine anuki olech lamut. You think I want to die being the Kohen Gadol? So he says, Velamma ze li bechora. What does it mean, ze? This part. When you say ze, it means this to the exclusion of something else. Lamma ze. What do I need this part of the bechora for? So Esav says, I got the best deal of my life. Now I gave my brother the service. Let him get blood all over his shoes. And I still keep the money. And I got a free bowl of lentil soup. And Shalom Yisrael, Esav walks away saying, what kind of businessman is it? Meanwhile, you'll see that this over here, this business deal over here, was the worst mistake that Esav ever made in his life. But at the time he's thinking, so odd, what I sell to him. Now we go further. Now you need to know this. You see, the shocking part of this is that on the way out, somebody will say, yeah, that's the way I always learned this parasha. Because it sounds so smooth, you're going to think that this is the way you always learned it. But you're not even realizing that very subtly, Hiddushim are being said at every juncture of the... So you have to listen to this over and over again to hear the nuances that are taking place here. There's nuances. What happens? It's Pesach. There's only one place you can bring Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach must be brought in Yerushalayim. It also must be brought on a Bama. Bama is an altar. In those days there was no Mizbeah. Private altars. And guess what? On a private altar, which they used to have in their backyards, so we had barbecues in the backyard. In the old days, they had bamas. Everybody had a barbecue in the backyard, but they used to bring this korbanot on it. You didn't need to be a kohen, you could be a regular guy. However, there's a bama that's called bamat sibur, the public bama, That's where you brought Korban Pesach on, for example. The public Bama, only the Kohen, or in this case the Bechor, is able to serve on the Bama Sibur. Understand? Korban Pesach is not brought in the backyard. Korban Pesach is brought on the public Bama in Yerushalayim. And only the firstborn is able to bring it because he's the Kohen. So what happens? Now you understand, by the way, I'm answering your question. When Yaakov Avinu comes to his father, and his father says, Emi Atabini, what is he asking? Did you bring the Korban according to the Halakha? So he says, Anuchi Esa Bechorecha. He has to say, Bechor, I'm the Bechor. That's the key word. Because he's saying, yes, I'm the Bechor, and I brought the Korban according to the Halakha, in Yerushalayim, in HaKodesh, to Banev, to Konen, and everything is kasher, the Mehadri. The Bechorecha is key to the Korban. Oh. How did Avraham Avinu call the Makom HaMikdash? Very good, he called it a Har. Har HaMoriah. Behar HaShem Yira'eh. How did Yaakov Avinu call the Har HaBayit? He called it a Bayit. Next week's parasha, 2 weeks, we're going to say, En Zekim Bet Elohim. How did Yitzhak call the Makom of Harabayit? He called it a Sadeh. Remember it says in the Pasuk, last week we read, that Yitzhak went out, Lasuach Basadeh. The Sadeh says was the Makom of Mikdash. For whatever reason, that's the way Yitzhak Abinu referred to the Makom of the Mikdash. He called it Sadeh. Now I understand what he was telling Esav. When he tells him, oh, v'seh ha-sadeh v'sud al-isayin. I ask you, where do you trap? On the tennis court? What do you have to tell him? Seh ha-sadeh. He was telling him, go to the sadeh. Go to the harabayit. He's giving him halakot. This is Pesach, my buddy. This is not Bama in the backyard. This is Korban Pesach. V'seh ha-sadeh. V'yeseh Yitzhak l'suach v'sadeh. He has to give him the halakhot. He has to teach his son Korban Pesach. So he wasn't telling him go to the field. He was telling him you have to go to Har HaBayit and you need to bring the proper Korban, v'seh sadeh. Oh. V'seh sadeh v'sud al-isayin. It's a simple question. Where was Yitzhak at this point? Location. The map. This story takes place in Be'er Sheva. How do I know what happens in Be'er Sheva? After the story, Vayetzei Yaakov Be'er Sheva, Vayetzei Karana. Doesn't Yaakov run away eventually from this? He runs away from Be'er Sheva. So, this is in Be'er Sheva, this story. Where's the Beit HaMikdash? Yerushalayim. Okay. How far is Be'er Sheva to Yerushalayim? You don't know. You have no idea. You're clueless. 2 hours by car. That's the answer I was looking for. And how much by donkey? You never took a donkey to Yerushalayim. You wouldn't know. I'll tell you the answer. Remember 2 weeks ago we read when Avraham Abinu went to the Akedah? 3 days. It took 3 days, very simple. He was in Be'er Sheva, he went to Yerushalayim. So I guess your simple question. He's telling Esav, it's Erev Pesach, we're in Be'er Sheva, go to Yerushalayim, slaughter it on the Sadeh, and come back. Good, come back 6 days later, we'll be back by Pesach Sheni. How could he tell him to go to, he won't get there in time. He won't get there in time. Nobody calculates this. It took Abraham 3 days to get there. And it's not going to take less than 3 days, yeah? Well, the explanation is that what you don't know, that one of the Shemot HaKiddushim is the Shem that gives you Kefisat HaDerech. course, there's a shame that if you know the name, you get there quick. I use this name all the time in traffic. The next time you see a car and the FDR flying across like that, Abu Haseda family, you say, there's the rabbi. The rabbi's using the Shemot again. He's beating all the traffic. It's your lucky night. I'm going to tell you the shame. The shame to make kifisat ha-derech actually comes from the first pasuk in the Torah, Bereshit bara Elohim, et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aris. Et ha-shamayim aleph he ve-et ha-aris vav he. Aleph he vav he. Now you learned the new shame. Put it in your ways. Aleph he vav he. That's the shame of kifisat ha-derech. So Esav tells his father, Dad, you want me to go to Yerushalayim, you want me to get back before Pesach starts? Am I going to get there? You have to remember, Yitzchak thinks that Esav already is Baki B'Shemot. So therefore, I can give him the Shem. I can give him the Shem because he doesn't take. Kisayid B'Fiv, he eats his own food. So he tells him, go to the field, say Hasadeh, Vetsuda. The holy books write, he was giving him a remez. Hasadeh, the first letter of Hasadeh is here. The last letter of Hasadeh is here. Vetsuda is Vav and here. So he was telling him, oh, Vetsuda is Vav Aleph. Vetsuda, Vav Aleph. So he was hinting to him in the Rashi Tevot, Hasadeh Vetsuda. Rashi Tevot and Sotofet Tevot, He He Vav Aleph, which is the four letters of the Shem. So encrypted in his words, he was telling him, don't worry, you'll get there. You don't have a problem. Oh. Then what does he tell him? After he tells him the Shem, he tells him, however, I have to tell you another halakha. You have to make sure, since it's a korban, it cannot be stolen property. So negezel ba'ola. Don't take it for granted. The Gemara has to give drashot on this to prove that you're not allowed to have a stolen korban. I would have said, maybe you could steal it. I'm giving it to God anyway. Well, steal it. What's the difference? But the Gemara needs to prove it. So negezel ba'ola, quotes a pasuk. So Yitzhak is teaching us out the laws of korbanot. Who knows, maybe this is the first korban he ever brought. So he tells him, listen. He said, I'm going to tell you Hadush, Esav, my son. He says, we have 10 commandments. There's 5 on one side and 5 on the other side. The 5th commandment on the right side is Kaved Avicha Ve'et Imecha. That's, you draw a straight line to the 5th commandment on the left side, which is the 10th commandment, but it's right across from each other. That's Lo Tachmod. Do not covet what does not belong to you. What he was telling him is, make sure you keep that 5th line of the 10 commandments. If you want to fulfill Kibud Av Va'em in this mitzvah properly, make sure you don't covet what doesn't belong to you. And that's why when he tells him, Vetsudali Tzayid, the Tzayid is spelt with a hair. He's hinting to him the 5th commandment and the 5th line of Lo Tachmod. Which means he told it to him. But the Torah is not going to give you the whole conversation. Otherwise the Sefer Torah would be too heavy. So in one letter of the Tzayid, the hair, he's telling him the 5th line of the Aser Dibrot. Kaved et avicha ve'et imecha. How? Lo tachmod. Now, did Esav fulfill it? Look at the pasuk. When Esav goes out to the field, what does it say? Pasuk says, Vayelech Esav asadeh lasut sayid. Sadi yud dalid. Hey, where's the hair? The deadbeat. He didn't fulfill Kibud Av, and he stole it. So he didn't fulfill what his father told him. No problem. Now what happens? Now what happens? Yaakov walks in. Yaakov walks in. So he says, I'm the Bechor. Good, you're the Bechor. Beautiful. And then all of a sudden, what does he tell him? He smells him. And he says, Vayomer re'e reyach b'ni ke reyach sadeh. He tells him the smell on your clothes is the smell of the sadeh. It smells like you were in the Beit HaMikdash. Yitzhak Avinu could smell the begadim where he was. Not the sadeh, the Kilimanjaro. When he's saying, I smell that your clothes is kereyah sadeh, he called the harabayat sadeh. He says, I know for a fact you are at the sadeh. I could smell it in your garments. There's only one other time in Tanakh does it say the word kereyah. Kereyah ha-sadeh, kereyah ha-Lebanon. What is the Lebanon? The Makom HaMikdash, which is called Lebanon. Shemalbin avonotehem shel Yisrael. So he says, kereyah ha-sadeh, kereyah Lebanon. That I smell that you're in the Makom HaMikdash. It's absorbed in your garments. That's what he meant when he said it. So it means everything checks out. He's the Bechor. He went to the Sadeh. Yitzhak confirms it with his sniff of the clothes. So he knows he was there. So what more do you want? He brings back the food, the korbanot and present. He made it back in time. So he blessed them. Now what happens? Now what happens? Remember I asked you a question? By Esav, what does it say? Ish yodeya sayid, ish sadeh. Why does it say by Esav two ishes? Why does he get double ish? You know what the hadush is? You know who the Ish Sadeh is? Ish Sadeh is the one that referred to the Beit HaMikdash as Sadeh. Who's the one that referred to the Beit HaMikdash as Sadeh? Yitzhak. So the Pasuk is saying, Ish Yodei Asayid, he's the one that tricked. Who did he trick? Ish Sadeh, Yitzhak Aminu. So really there's only one Ish by Esav. There's one Ish by Esav, there's one Ish by Yitzhak, and there's one Ish by Yaakov. Ish Yodei Asayid, he knows how to use his mouth to trick. Who's he tricking? Ish Yodei Asayid, Ish Sadeh, the Ish Sadeh, the one that caused the Beit HaMikdash Sadeh. Okay, now let's continue what happens. Esav comes. Esav walks in. Esav walks in, Yitzhak Avinu says, who are you? He says, what do you mean, who am I? I'm Esav Bechorecha. You're Esav Bechorecha. Vayichirad. He starts to shake. Because if you're Esav Bechorecha, that other guy was not the Bechor, and he's a stranger. And this korban over here is pasul, and I ate kadashim that was slaughtered and that was brought on the bama in Yerushalayim illegally. Vayicharad. He said, how is it possible if you're the Bechor? And he understood this is Esav. That means the other guy wasn't the Bechor. I was duped. But then he says, Mizeh Asad Sayyid. Who is this one that brought me the Sayyid? Va'ochal mikol. The Midrash says, what does it mean, va'ochal mikol? I ate from all of it. Midrash says, when I ate from it, I tasted all of the pleasures of Gan Eden in this food. Va'ochal mikol. It had all of the flavors of paradise. You know what Yitzhak was saying? I am confused. Vayicherad. He was confused. He said, I don't understand. If he's not the Bechor, then how in the world va'ochal mikol? What is going on over here? Now you know what happened? At this point, interject. Esav says, well, listen, Dad, I sold the Bechor to Yaakov. I did sell him the Bechor. You don't know that. I'm telling you now, I sold the Bechor. He says, ah, you sold the Bechor. Gam baruch teyeh. He says, good, everything's good now. This is Min HaShamayim, obviously. As long as you tell me you sold the Bechor, we'll work out the details after. Everything is good. You sold the Bechor. That means for whatever reason Hashem wanted it to be this way. Gam baruch teyeh. Everything is fine. The Beracha belongs to him. What does he come along and say? He says, Achi kara shemo Yaakov. He says, that's why they call him Yaakov. Vayakiveni ze pa'amayim. What is the ze pa'amayim? He tricked me twice. He says, Dad, you don't know this guy, he's a trickster. He says, on that day when I went to eat the soup, you know what he told me? He says, sell me the birthright. He said, only sell me the part that applies today. Only sell me the part of the korbanot. And I said, yeah, what do I need the korbanot for? What do I need to bring the sacrifices for? And I told him, lama zeh. I said, what do I need zeh? Now I see, vayakeveni zeh, that's zeh. It tricked me twice because now that he got the korbanot, he got the berachot. I didn't know what he was doing to me, this guy. Vayakeveni zeh, that's zeh. He knew what he was doing. He says, keep the money, don't worry, keep the money, don't worry. You get bechorah, pishenayim. Just sell me the zeh part. And I answered, I said, lama zeh li. Little did I know that in the Bechorah is the Beracha. That's what he meant when he said, Ve'akeveni zeh pa'amayim. Oh. But now the main question that we didn't answer. Why did it have to happen this way? Why does it have to happen this way? Why couldn't it just happen that Yitzhak knows who Yaakov is, Yitzhak knows who Esav is, and everything goes straight? Instead of having to unravel this great debacle, I say, I hatam sofes as a hadush. These blessings were divine blessings, and they came with Ruach HaKodesh. And there's a rule that Shekhinah does not rest on a person unless he's happy. If a person is depressed, if a person is despondent, if a person is sad, the Shekhinah cannot rest on him. And we have proofs to this. Yaakov Abinu for 22 years did not have a communication because he was depressed when he thought Yosef was dead. Elisha could not get prophecy until he told him, Vayichim nagenam nagen. He told them to play a little jingle on the violin to bring him into simcha. Ein hashechina shora lo mitoch atzbut. Listen to this story. What would have happened to Yitzhak if he knew who Esav was? Imagine if Yitzhak would know the true colors of Esav, that he's a bum, that he's a murderer, that he's a cheat, that he's a liar, that he's all the worst things. You know what that would have done to Yitzhak Abinu? It would have put him into a depression. Like any father that sees his son become so corrupted, and then guess what? He wouldn't be able to give the divine blessing to Yaakov, says the Hatam Sofer. Because he would be ba'atzvut, and he wouldn't have the electricity of the Shekhinah go through him, and nobody would have got the blessing. You hear this hadush? This is a mind-boggling hadush. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated it that Yitzhak should think he has two tzaddikim. You got the Yitzhak, how your children, Baruch Hashem, oh, Esav is a mekubal, and Yaakov learns pshat, and he has shemot, and he brings his own lunch, and Yaakov's yeshiva man. Yeah, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. Look at these two kids over here. Could you get a better set of twins? Usually in twins, one is good, one is bad. Both of these are good. Yitzhak thinks they're both good. He's the happiest man in the world. So when Yaakov comes in, he's happy. Yitzhak's happy. Yitzhak's happy. So the berachot are flowing. He's happy. Berachot. Bismaha. You know what comes out according to this? May you learn a great lesson. You can't take something that doesn't belong to you. Listen to what comes out according to this. Esav is tricking his father all these years in order to get the blessing. Because he tricked his father, that's why Yaakov got the blessings. You see, you understand what I just said? If Esav would have been an honest guy, then Yaakov would have been in trouble. Because Yitzhak wouldn't have got the Hakodesh, and then would have all messed up. But Esav's using his thumbs, I'll trick my father. Good God says, perfect. Trick your father, now your father will have Ruach HaKodesh, so when Yaakov comes in, bingo, he has the Ruach HaKodesh. So it's the trickery of Esav that actually afforded Yaakov to get the blessings. This Hatam Sofer says. And that's what he meant when he told Esav, Ba achicha ben nirma. You know how your brother was able to get these blessings? With your trickery. Ben nirma shelcha. He was giving him on the head. He wasn't saying, oh, your brother tricked you and then put kerosene on his head. No, he says, Ba achicha. Your brother was able to get these blessings because you're a crook. Ben nirma. You fooled me all these years, so I was happy. And then with the beracha flow, but now I don't know who you are. So yeah, Esav says, right after that, he says, now I know. Achi kara shemo Yaakov. Now I know why they call him Yaakov. Now really, why do they call him Yaakov? Where did they get the name Yaakov? It's like, it's a important name, Yaakov. Because he was holding on to Akiv Esav. When he was coming out of the womb, he held on to Akiv Esav, so what? And if he held on to his nose, they're going to call him Afakob. What? He held on to his nehir. What's it got to do with anything? Explanation is, V'yado ochezet. You know how his hand held on to the blessing. You know how he was zochet to the blessing? Ba'akev Esav, because of the trickery of Esav. Esav says, Achi kara, now I know. His name explains the whole story. Not his trickery. Ba'akev Esav, the trickery of Esav. He says, Esav reached a moment of truth for the first time in his life. He says, it doesn't pay to be a crook. Doesn't pay to trick around. I would have been honest. Could be I would have got something. Instead, I tried to trick my father and take the blessings away from Yaakov, and instead, I was the one that delivered the blessings. And then Yaakov Abinu gives him a token blessing. But what do you see from over here, Rabotai? That what's coming to you, nobody can take it away from you. Like Shlomo HaMelech said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the person yashar, straight. V'hem b'kshu hashibonot. God says, go the straight path. but instead of going the straight path, we want to make hashbonot. If I do this, if I open my store on Shabbat, I'll make more money. And then hashbonot. We think we can outsmart the system. If I lie over here, I'll make more, and I can cheat. And the problem is the hashbonot, and any time you start making hashbonot, you lose. En etza ve'en tevuna ve'en hochma le'neged Hashem. Atzat Hashem itakum. That was the problem of Esav. Esav used his trickery, says the Hatam Sofer, seemingly to his benefit, but little did he know he was benefiting his brother, which was the exact opposite result that he was aiming for, which is incredible. And that's what Yitzhak Avinu told him. Ba'achicha, your brother was only able to come here today and get the blessings. B'mirmashilcha, from your trickery that you accomplished. This is the way to learn a parasha. This is the way to learn a parasha. Now you have a thorough understanding from the beginning of the story to the end of the story. All the pesukim make sense. All the words make sense. This is called the mahalach. You have a derech. At the end of the day, Esav wasn't a mekubal. He was a faker. He was using sorcery. And finally, when he walked in, the gates of Gehinam opened up in front of Yitzhak. Now already, once the berachot were given, now God's God could scare Yitzhak already and show him the Gehinam. It's too late, the berachot were given already. It's finished. He got the berachot. Now he could show him who his son is. The Gehinam opened up, he saw who he was. But by that time it was too late. The blessing of V'yeten Necha Elohim Mital HaShamayim U'Mishmane Ha'aretz V'Rov Dagan V'Tirosh was already delivered. And lucky are we because we're the heirs of that blessing. That great blessing of V'yeten Necha is the blessing that we are going to benefit. Albeit, and I'll conclude with this. Well, there's much more to say. We're stopping in the middle of the class now. That the Zohar HaKadosh says that the V'yiten Necha Elohim Mital HaShamayim, this beracha has not yet come true. This beracha will only come true after Mashiach comes. That's the Zohar HaKadosh. The beracha that Yaakov gets when he goes to Laban's house, Kum Lech Paden Aram El Shaddai Yivarech Otcha Pere Urveh, that beracha we get in this world. But the V'yiten Necha Elohim Mital HaShamayim, that's pending. So with all the berachot that Am Yisrael has, you have to know that we didn't even get the main beracha yet. The main beracha that we're going to get, Be'ezat Hashem, is ahead of us. If Levi Yitzhak Mebardichev said that in this world, God's name is Yudke Vavke. When Mashiach comes, they're going to change the Vav of Yudke Vavke to a Yud. The name of God is going to change from Yudke Vavke to Yudke Yudke. Like it says in the Pasuk, Bayom Ahu Yehyeh Hashem. Hashem is going to turn into Yehyeh. That's going to be the holy name of God. That's the way Rav Levi Yitzchak explains that after Yaakov Avinu comes in and he gets the beracha, and Esav explains that the berachot really belong to Yaakov, and what does Yitzchak Avinu answer? Gam Baruch Yehiyeh. That's Levi Yitzchak Mebardichev said. Gam Baruch, these berachot that I gave him, Yehiyeh. Bayom Ahu Yehiyeh. So we have something to look forward to. We have something to anticipate when the coming of the Mashiach comes. These ultimate blessings, we don't even know what they are. They're so great. And then will be fulfilled on us. V'haya Adonai le'melech al kol ha'aretz. B'yom ahu yiyeh Adonai echad u'shmo echad. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen.